May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord. Amen.
Amen.
When my daughter Adrielle was born, I used to sing to her to make her sleep. Looking at her little hands and feet, I was often prompted to use the words from the famous hymn, "Jesus' hands were kind hands, doing good to all." When preparing this sermon, I thought about these words, and suddenly I realized that though Jesus had kind hands, doing good to all, he seldom encountered people with kind hands doing good to him. In fact, I think there were only a handful of people who showed genuine kindness to Jesus. Mary, Martha, and Lazarus were three siblings who were not just close to each other, but also very close to our Lord Jesus, and they often showed great kindness and hospitality to him. We know that Jesus often visited their home in Bethany. In fact, Bethany, the place where they lived, was just a few kilometers away from Jerusalem, Jesus' hometown. Today's gospel reading actually speaks about one of those days when Jesus happened to be at Martha's home. Usually, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus would provide him with a tasty meal and enjoy his company. They would create an atmosphere of love and peace so that Jesus would often feel very refreshed after visiting them. But today, things were different. Today there was an atmosphere of hustle and bustle, and we see that Martha is really busy getting the meal ready. And we can't accuse her for that, because it's not just Jesus, but also his disciples. So she is attending to 13 guests. I would be stressed out too. It was not typical for Martha, though, to ignore Jesus completely and to be consumed with the things happening around her. A good example is her brother's funeral. Lazarus happened to be seriously ill some time ago, and Martha sent a messenger to Jesus telling him about her brother's illness, and of course she was hoping that he would come and heal her brother. But days passed and Lazarus died, yet Jesus did not come. When Jesus finally arrived at the funeral, 4 days after Lazarus' death had already passed. And in midst of the mourning, in midst of the funeral, we see that Martha gets up and goes out to meet Jesus. Surprisingly, she doesn't seem to be mad at Jesus for delaying his coming. And even while she is facing this terrible loss, Martha baffles us with a statement she makes about Jesus. She says to him, "I am convinced that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one who is to come into the world." We should note here that long before the disciples realized or acknowledged who Jesus really was, Martha knew with all her heart who she was speaking to. So when we think about Martha, we should remember that she is characterized by her great faith in Jesus and by genuine love for her siblings. As for Jesus, this visit to Martha's home was of course special, but also different. It was different from all the other times because he exactly knew that this visit would bring him one step closer to the cross. He would shortly go back to Jerusalem, be welcomed with shouts of Hosanna before being crucified. The knowledge that he hardly had another week to live probably spurred him on to visit this beautiful home in Bethany, which had provided him with so much love, care, and compassion every time he was there. So Jesus was sitting there at Martha's home, wanting to spend some more time with his good friends, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. wanting to remind them about how much he cares for them and wanting to equip them with more profound words from him, which they would so desperately need between Good Friday and Easter. But we find that Martha was distracted. Martha was distracted. She was distracted by all the work she had to do, and that leads her to do things she wouldn't do otherwise. First, she blasts at Jesus, "Lord, don't you care?" And then she commands him, "Tell Mary to help me." Martha resents her sister Mary for not helping her out, for leaving her alone to do all the work, for sitting around having a great time at Jesus' feet while she's getting exhausted with all the work. But above all that, she also resents Jesus. Martha couldn't understand or grasp this huge amount of ignorance on Jesus' part. How could Jesus, the Messiah, the one who knew everything, talk about serving being so important, and then at the same time overlook that Mary was just sitting around while Martha was working so hard? How was that possible? And this is also something which happens to us very often. We might have the best of intentions, we labor hard, but then when we get so worked up, we suddenly look around and resent people for seemingly having forced us into the role of caretaker. Even if that is not true, we get angry at them. And we get angry at Jesus for not showing them how miserable they are. What we forget here, though, what we forget here is that we are shifting our focus from what God does for us to what we do for God. We give more weight to the things we do and get judgmental about others who cannot keep up with us, who don't seem to be able to be as perfect as we are or as holy as we are. So how do we avoid this? How do we focus on what God does for us? Well, Jesus had a very short but profound advice for Martha. He said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen the better one, and it will not be taken away from her." In other words, Jesus was telling her, "Yes, Martha, serving is a duty. I have said that you should serve your community, that you should help the poor and the needy. But listening to God, worshiping him, and taking a time out is a duty too. Perhaps it's even the much greater duty you have, because otherwise you won't be able to serve people with a song in your heart. That is the one thing needed which Mary has chosen, and it will certainly never, ever be taken away from her." Today's world is full of distractions, and there are many things and many people competing for our attention. The more important it is to develop the skill of listening to God's voice. Sure, we might not be able to physically sit at Jesus' feet like Mary did, but worship, prayer, meditation, and scripture are means of listening to God. Yes, it's true, it's not easy to have to deal with people of different shades of character. We might be taking care of an elderly parent while our sibling is not. Or we might be in a leadership role while people seem only to grumble against us. But let me close with this thought. Being part of a family, a church, or a business is often like being a passenger on Noah's Ark. all kinds of animals are put together under one roof. You've got snakes and lions, dogs and cats, pigs and doves, and the natural instinct would be to fight each other. But when God's words are there to guide and sustain, there will be peace throughout the journey. Let us then take a break every day from all the work which makes us exhausted. Let us sit at Jesus' feet and let us choose the one thing needed to have a peaceful Christian journey. Amen.